Check WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is our 25th anniversary. Big shout out to our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. We're providing some cannabis education around here with Wendy Braunfein. You can find that out at Baltimore Positive, and certainly find them over on York Road as well. Our 25th anniversary features 25 stories of glory, and time will not dim the glory of your deeds in keeping us open and alive and participating in all sorts of fun things. This week, barn memories, and I am in heavy negotiations to bring the show, bring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation and Jiffy Lube back to Das Beer Hall for some proper Kolsch. And I'm doing that in November because we're hiatusing the Crab Cake Tour a little bit, because we have Oriole magic to deal with here the next couple of weeks. You know, I remember when Charles Steinberg used to play the Pippin song, "We've got magic to do just for you, miracle plays to play." I may bring Charles on to sing the Pippin theme song there. Luke Jones joins us this week, and I don't know if it will be storybook to clinchmas against the Washington Nationals on both Masson networks, no less, or maybe the Boston Red Sox this weekend. But certainly, Luke, I'm wearing my Orioles orange throwback here. It sort of feels like they're going to be the one seed and clinch this thing this week. We're going to have like a party here this week, not to wash away all those purple memories of Sunday and losing to the Colts, but the Orioles are going to do something here this week that I think you and I maybe believe we'd never see, right?
Well, not this year anyway. You could have gotten me to buy into 24, 25, 26, you know, knowing the pipeline and who was already here and who was on the way. But I think for it to happen this quickly in the fashion that it did, and we've talked about it. I mean, the Yankees are down right now. The Red Sox are down right now. I mean, the Red Sox just changed their general manager, you know, fired their general manager. The Yankees kind of have late 80s vibe Yankees, you know, kind of a thing going where they've got a bunch of high priced players, but they're old and they can't stay healthy and all that. So, but the Orioles have seized every opportunity and they are going to clinch the AL East this week. I feel comfortable in saying that as they come home with a 2.5 game lead and you have six to go. I mean, they have the tiebreaker.
What would you have to bet at Hollywood Casino right now if you wanted to bet against them? Put the put down to say they weren't. I mean, it's astronomical, right? They got to be 97% to clinch or something, right?
I mean, something in that orbit, right? I mean, it's very high. I mean, that's just where they are right now. I mean, when you have a 2.5 game lead with a tiebreaker in your pocket with six games to go, the Rays have five to go. I mean, it's just
against losing teams.
It is what
against
it is.
Bad teams. Yes.
Right. I mean, right. And let's not pretend that the Rays are playing a perfect brand of baseball right now. We've talked about the Orioles bullpen issues, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a moment. But look what happened to Pete Fairbanks on Saturday. I mean, he couldn't throw a strike. A total meltdown on the back end of the Rays bullpen that had been so incredible going into that Orioles series last weekend. So a lot of this is just what happens around the league when you get to the end of a six-month season. Teams are tired. In a case like the Orioles, I mean, there's been you and I would have had a much different discussion if you and I had done radio Saturday morning or
oh, no
late
doubt about
Friday
it. The sky
night.
Was falling Friday night.
It felt that way. And look, just because they won Saturday and Sunday does not mean my concerns are quelled about the bullpen by any stretch of the imagination. But it is a reminder of it's a long season, the ebbs and flows of a season, the fact that this team has minimized its drier spells. You know, they've had a couple four-game losing streaks and a couple three-game losing streaks here and there. And that's been it. You know, they haven't had these extended stretches where they lose 11 of 13. And, you know, there are good teams that go through stretches like that. You know, let's be very clear about that. So as we've said all year, it's a testament to Brandon Hyde. It's a testament to the coaching staff. And first and foremost, a testament to these players, you know, that they haven't gotten too low when things are going bad, just as they haven't gotten too high when things are going well. But I think what we saw over the weekend, it begins with what John Means did on Saturday night in a real moment of need. When you consider the bullpen, this long stretch of days without an off day as they finally get a respite on Monday as they come home and play the Nats Tuesday and Wednesday. But John Means gave them exactly what they needed. And I'm not even talking about the flirtation with a no-hitter. Just the fact that he pitched to, seven innings. The fact that he pitched into the late innings. I mean, just absolutely massive for this pitching staff, for this bullpen specifically. I mean, for John Means to go 7 1/3 and do what he did, take a no-hitter into the seventh inning. I mean, boy, that was so big on so many levels. And not to mention for him individually, making a pretty good statement as far as his inclusion in the postseason rotation, as
Yeah, I mean,
we
we
continue to
talked
think
about
about that.
this for a year and a half, right? Like maybe sort of kind of maybe he'll be there, maybe he'll be available for an inning or two. And then he goes out there and does that and you say to yourself, "All right, this may be spring training for him right now and it feels like May 10th sort of strength for him where nobody else is feeling that right now." He could be a difference maker for you in the way that Batista, we're worried about Cano, worried about Fuji, worried about the bullpen. Some of these guys, and even Flaherty coming out of the bullpen and providing some insulation last week to say maybe he could be that guy in a pinch in game three if we're up 2-0 and it goes haywire or it's 1-1 and it's going haywire. But you start to think, man, I remember this from 12, 14, and 16, but even more so now that we're up against it, how you perform in game one. Game one's everything because you talk about the sky falling on a Ravens loss over the weekend and they have to wait a week and how we felt Saturday morning after blowing the game and losing two in a row. We don't lose two in a row around here. Never, never lose three in a row around here. Never lose series. That's why I keep thinking to myself, this is going to be the damnedest thing if they haven't lost a series all year long, really, in this sort of way, and somehow get bounced in a five or a seven against any of these inferior teams. If all year long they didn't get swept, they haven't had any of these kinds of issues, that getting the pitching sober at this time and figuring out where are you next Friday, that's all about. Not letting this thing get to Saturday. No offense to all of you that bought tickets for Saturday night or Jim Palmer night on Friday night, but they got to get the dirty deal done here early in the week and take the weekend to breathe and have some fun and have the crowd down and give the jerseys or do everything they need to do. Have their little hangover. You get to come out there next Tuesday and Wednesday, and Chad and Greg Bader can decide which place you go because they'll be having batting practice every day next week and chilling out. And we'll all be watching baseball around here in the middle of the week. That's where this thing's headed, right? But the sooner the better. And if there's any message here, it's win Tuesday, win Wednesday, hope Tampa, like win, get this over with, and dance around in front of the Nationals and Ted Lerner.
Yeah, and take a few extra days to and it's not as though you're going to shut down everyone. I mean, you don't want your like for example, Bradish is going to start Tuesday. He would be in line to start the series, the season finale on Sunday. He probably still goes out there, but he probably only throws two innings or three, something just enough to keep him sharp, just enough for him to basically have, not a side session because it's still a game, but he's not going to go out and throw 100 pitches, but you also don't want him to go 12 days in between
Well,
starts.
you get spring
But
training for 4 days and then 4 days of BP and like body rest, head rest, mind rest.
yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean that they don't go out and poop the bed next weekend,
Well,
right? I mean, like, that could happen. And that's why I
of
say
course it could.
game one, but at least they're going to have every advantage you could ever have, with they, well, not really, because they might see Tampa. Because of the way this weird seeding of four or five, they can only play the four or five. They can't play the three or the six because they don't want division winners showing up at the doorstep of the one seed. So they're going to see this four or five winner. But man, this is a week to try hard, fast, get it over with, and then spring training,
Cruise.
BP. And get ready for the real thing next weekend with every advantage you can possibly have. Doesn't mean that that goes well in the first four innings of game one next Saturday, but man, this is exciting. It's so exciting. I bought a new jersey, Luke.
It's a really
Not
good
a
looking
new jersey,
jersey.
a new uniform. Not new jersey. No,
Sure. A new old jersey. How
new
about
old
that?
jersey. Look
Yeah,
at the piping
but
on that, man. It should say DeSensei's on it, but it doesn't. So anyway.
the sharp jersey. But you're absolutely right. And look, if the circumstances were different, it would be a really interesting discussion in terms of this 5 days that you're going to sit until you play in the divisional round, as far as whether that's good. You know, it's so counterintuitive to how a baseball player approaches a season, where you play every day and, you know, you'll play two and a half weeks at a time without an off day, as the Orioles are coming off of a long stretch like that on Monday going into the start of the homestand. But when you, just out of sheer necessity with their starting rotation, not because they pitched poorly, although certainly they've had a few more hiccups of late with the rotation over the last 10 days or so than what we had seen for a few weeks there. But with that, the innings with Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez and Dean Kramer, however he's going to fit, all these guys have thrown career highs in innings, and especially the bullpen. I mean, I'm stating the obvious with that, right? I mean, the bullpen has been so overworked. You don't have Felix Bautista. You know, we'll see what's going to happen with that. I mean, again, I don't think anyone's holding their breath, so I'm not even going to tell people to hold their breath, because I don't think anyone is at this point. But this 5 day break, assuming they finish, they close out their business here, which they should over the next few nights, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it should be somewhere in that neighborhood. It's down to three. I mean, even if they don't play that well, you know, are the Rays going to win and do what they need to do? But they need to give themselves every opportunity to rest, for Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias and this coaching staff to sit down and say, okay, who do we think is best suited for which role? How do we want to kind of lay out a rotation? I think it's very evident, just in terms of a pecking order, Kyle Bradish is the ace for this team right now in terms of performance. He has been all year long. Grayson Rodriguez, you know, choppy start in Cleveland aside, has been outstanding. We saw what he did against Tampa last weekend with the 8 shutout innings. But then you have, okay, where does Dean Kramer fit into this? A couple weeks ago, I think everyone assumed he would be in that postseason rotation, but he hasn't pitched as well of late. You have John Means, who's coming off of an excellent start and, you know, doesn't have postseason experience, but is a little more experienced. Kyle Gibson, you know, we spent time talking about Means. What about what Kyle Gibson did for them on Sunday? Gave them another long start where they didn't have to dip deep into the bullpen and gave most of those guys a chance to catch their breath a little bit going into the off day.
By the way, the pitching's not bad. If the pitching were bad, they'd be losing a hell of a lot. They're winning 7 out of 10 ball games, you know. So we're all freaked out about all this. I mean, they're gonna piss away a game or two, maybe the way they did Thursday or Friday, and maybe even in game three or something. That's gonna happen. But over the scale of this, they're getting more good pitching than bad pitching. Like, but even without John Means the other night throwing no hit ball, I mean, they didn't put this thing together with duct tape. It just feels that way because they don't have Maddox and Smoltz and Glavine and Avery, and they don't have Palmer and Dobson and McNally and Cuellar, and they don't have Messina and Erickson. You know, I mean, they don't have that. But I don't. I mean, if they see Seattle, what are they going to? If they see you, what are they going to get that's any better than what these guys have been lately?
Well, and you just talked about the starters. And that's also coupled with losing the best reliever in baseball this year. I mean, that's how great, not good, how great Bautista had been. You look at his numbers in terms of wins above replacement, in terms of win probability, in terms of strikeouts per 9 innings, the ERA. I mean, it all checks out. We know how important Bautista was. And look, it is a credit, an absolute credit to this ball club with the way that they fared for the first, 3 weeks that Bautista was on the shelf, that it wasn't until the last week to 10 days where we started seeing, you know, and really just this past week, really seeing the cracks in the bullpen. And I think so much of it is just those guys are exhausted. And you're talking about,
well, they also haven't had a day off.
No,
scheduling didn't help them either.
Right, right.
Really.
No question about it. I mean, that's part of it. Again, like we talked about with the Ravens, you know, it doesn't excuse them 100%, but it's part of that percentage. It's part of the pie. You can't just dismiss it entirely. But in the case of where the Orioles are with their bullpen, the reason why they've tried and tried and tried to get Fujinami into a position where he's confident enough and consistent enough where you want to use him in the late innings, it's because he missed bats. It's because he strikes guys out. They do not have many relievers in that bullpen right now that can strike people out. And look, I know some people who are a little more old school, and I respect that. And I know strikeouts aren't everything. However, it's simple probability and simple math. What's more likely to happen? A guy makes soft contact, but makes contact and a ball falls in, or you blow that hitter away and he doesn't make any contact. There's no chance of the ball falling in for a base hit then. They are missing that with Felix Bautista, and you know, Cano doesn't miss bats. I mean, what strikeouts he had early in the season have, you know, he's not striking anyone out at this point. I mean, he did have one the other day, but that's,
he's a little bit of a Fernando mania guy. I would hate to see the season in a game six, they're losing 3-2 and him come out of the, I mean, that's the fear here. You're right. I mean, the fear here is game six, you know, you're up 4-3 in the seventh inning. It's tight. You're home. Crowd's all into it. You're right where you need to be to go to a World Series, and who's coming out of the bullpen to shut that down, and what's the level of confidence in that? And if that's Cano or if that's Fuji, I think, dude, it's September 20, and we, you know, that's still not safe. Doesn't
no. And let's be clear, Cano has been an all-star reliever this year, even with his recent struggles. He's got a 2.17 ERA. He's been outstanding this year, especially relative. I mean, this guy wasn't even on the roster on opening day. Keep that in mind for how important he's been. But you just said it, and it's why this team needs to hit. And, you know, we've kind of seen the Jekyll and Hyde with the bats here of late. And look, those guys are tired too. It's not just the pitching. You know, when you're talking about all these guys who are playing 17 straight days and without an off day and all that, that takes its toll on everyone, especially when you're in the final month of the regular season, a 162-game marathon. But it's why they have to hit, and it's why they need to be able to get, look, to your point, you know, this isn't, you know, they don't have Greg Maddux, you know, it's not Randy Johnson, it's not Jim Palmer, it's not Mike Mussina. So you can't possibly expect these guys to go seven innings in these postseason games, because we know how playoff baseball operates, especially in this day and age with bullpens and how you, you know, leverage situations, and you know, you're probably not going to ask guys to go more than two times through the order unless they're really, really pitching well. So that's going to be part of it. But put it this way, your starters can't have situations where they only go three. You know, that's when you run into this, and this is everyone, not just the Orioles, this is any team in the playoffs, that you know, you get into that territory. That's when you are afraid of, especially in a best of five.
Hang on a minute, because I think playoffs are different. A lot of guys wind up going three because they get mangled up a little bit, and the manager won't give them rope, right? Like, literally won't. Like, it's managed so differently. I think we all forget that. We forget that over, because we're 150 games into this. This is the way, and it's already different. And Jim Palmer points it out every night. When it's the fourth inning and a guy's at 85 pitches, and Palmer would be like, well, I would be at 71 pitches, but I'd figure out a way to get to 118 tonight and get it done, to get to the eighth or whatever. That never, ever happens in modern baseball. And in October, that doesn't get turned up a little bit. It gets turned up white hot in a five-game series. Whiter, you know, red hot, blue hot next week in a three-game series where, you know, everybody's sphincter gets really tight come next Tuesday and Wednesday, and we're going to be on the sideline watching it, watching maybe Tampa wither with 97 wins and lose game one and be behind a couple of runs early in game two. And all of a sudden, there's your thing. It's the third inning. I got to pull my pitcher. Well, we're playing for our lives today.
Yeah, no question about it. But that's where this feels different for me with this Orioles club. And look, They're closing in on 100 wins. They still have a chance to win 100 games for the first time since 1980. They deserve all their flowers. However, the one area of this team that I do not feel nearly as confident in right now, not talking out of turn here, I think everyone would agree with me, compared to the bullpen in 2016 with Zach Britton and Darren O'Day and Brad Brock and Michael Givens at that point in time, especially in 2014 when you had Zach Britton and Andrew Miller and Darren O'Day and Brad Brock and Kevin Gausman, you know, and maybe that's where Jack Flaherty fits in here. He failed as a starter in the Orioles rotation. Maybe he can be a plus arm for them out of the bullpen. You know, the point is, and you're right about how managers and how teams approach the postseason baseball, but I'm not convinced the Orioles are going to be that as aggressive as other teams, because who do you really trust in this bullpen right now? Again, last week aside, Yennier Cano has been really, really good for them. He's been outstanding for them for most of the season. CNL Perez has gotten back on track compared to where he was the first half of the season. Don't know if I fully trust him. Again, another guy who's not really striking out a lot of people, but we saw him used in the ninth inning on Saturday night. That's evident that Brandon Hyde has more trust in him than others. Danny Coulomb, you notice a trend here. I'm saying the last week aside, everyone's had hiccups over the last week. I mean, that's why this last week was so, anxiety ridden, because they couldn't trust any of their guys that they even normally trust.
But they really are in a position to get these guys good rest. I mean, they really are, with all diet, nutritionists, and all the sleep stuff, everything that they want to do, they're going to be able to do. They're still very much, I mean, unless they lose three games in a row and Rays catch fire, and we got to play this thing into Saturday and Sunday. At the very least, get this thing done by the time Friday night rolls around, and let Jim Palmer do another victory lap here and give him the love that he deserves, even though he's never done my show. I still love you, Jim. Still the greatest Oriole ever, 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 and I hope he gets that on Friday, but I hope it's over with. I mean, I really want to see them dance around in front of the Nationals, just for my own civic sake, but get this done before Friday. That's all. And then coast the weekend and coast next week, and then you have a perfect plan. That all of this last 2 weeks, these guys have all been good at various points this year. I don't expect Cano to come back out of the box and be the magician he was in May. That was Cano-a-mania. But I expect him to be functional. And more than that, I just don't want to see these guys come out and piss themselves with ball one and ball two whenever they come into the game, in whatever setting, in whatever stadia, against whatever batter, in whatever situation. They got to throw strikes, man.
No question about it. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but the rest is going to be great. The idea that they can set up their rotation exactly how they want it, I think it'll be interesting. Do you start Bradish game one, and do you go with one of the vets in game two and have Grayson in game three? Those are the things you're going to think about, right? I mean, Bradish and Grayson are going to be in the postseason rotation. That's obvious, right? I mean, that no questions asked about that. But, where does John Means fit into this? Is he in the rotation now after the way he's come back? It's only been three starts, but it's looked really good. And the third one was the best yet, especially at a time when they really needed it.
And now, I hope he looks good this week against one of these lousy bum teams. He might be the clinch guy, right?
Maybe. Sure. What happens with Dean Kramer? Is he in the rotation and Gibson's in the bullpen? Or do you go with the vet in the rotation and maybe Dean Kramer becomes an X factor for you in the bullpen? I mentioned in 14, Kevin Gausman transitioned from starter at the end of the regular season to being a pretty nice weapon for them out of the bullpen. So, that's something to think about. But for me, I guess where my concern lies, and this is where I do wonder how Brandon Hyde's going to approach the postseason, because you don't have all these guys coming out of the pen that can strike people out the way that some other teams have bullpens that could do that. Without having Batista, it's just, we've seen it. They've had to shuffle roles, right? You don't really know how this is defined. If you go back to 14, you knew it was Zach Britton in the ninth. It was Andrew Miller, somewhere seventh or eighth, and Darren O'Day being was going to be the other one. Whatever order you picked, fine. But, that was the pecking order. That was the hierarchy. What's their hierarchy right now? I don't really know.
Well, 15 months ago, if you take it back to Lopez as the closer, Batista as the setup, they were in a much better but it's not July of last year, and they're not a sub-500 team. They are where they are, and they don't have those weapons. And I would agree with you, but I think on any given night, Colom could come out in the seventh. Fuji could come out in the eighth, and Cano could come out in the ninth, and throw strikes and get guys out. That's going to be what they're going to need to do.
I don't know
unless they're winning 7-2, right?
Sure. Well, look,
and then bring Gibson out of the bullpen in the seventh and say, give me 42 pitches over three innings and get this thing over with, and let's get out of here.
Now you sound like me earlier in the year, Sam, when they needed more blowout wins. Easier said than done in the postseason, but you're right. But
Luke, it's taken me a whole year and 15 years of relationship. I finally agree with you. We need to win by a lot.
Yeah, there you go. You don't have to worry about the bullpen.
It would
then,
be better if we blew teams out, Luke. That's my astute conversation here, brought to you by Gold Roofing.
But that's where I do think this is interesting, and that's where I, if you close this thing out. Again, you're still gonna have to cover the innings. You're still gonna have to play the games. You don't want any. You're not gonna shut anyone down entirely. I mean, that's not gonna. But you can let your foot off the gas for some of your guys that you've leaned on the hardest. There's no question about that. You can ease up. You know, Bradish will start Sunday, but maybe throw three innings or something like that, and then he's out of the game, and you proceed how you're going to proceed. But with this bullpen having such little clarity in terms of how you're going to approach the late innings. I mean, you mentioned Fujinami. How can you trust him at this point in time? I mean, I'm guessing he's going to be on the postseason roster because, well, you've got to fill out a bullpen somehow. But
are you going to bring him into game one in the seventh inning with two outs and two runners on and you're losing 4-3? I don't think so.
Right. So, but my point is someone has to cover that. And that's where this does get more interesting for me in terms of what we've seen as far as the most recent developments. That is Jack Flaherty moving to the bullpen. And look, Flaherty's been a colossal disappointment as a starter. But guess what? Most relievers are what? Failed starters at some point in time in their pitching career. That's usually how this works. Even you know, it's very rare when guys are even drafted as a reliever. You know, they typically are a starter and they transition. So you have him out there. I am not saying that he's going to be that. I'm saying I'm intrigued by shortening him up and seeing if his velocity ticks up, which we've seen him that start his first start in Toronto after the trade. He was throwing 96, 97. We saw a way better version of Jack Flaherty as a result. Can you get that having him throw shorter stints? We'll see. They did just bring Tyler Wells back. I've been talking about Tyler Wells for 2 months now in terms of potentially being a high leverage guy in the bullpen for them. Again, we're going to have to see how it plays out. And he had some arm fatigue even with transitioning to a bullpen role. So that doesn't mean that it's going to work out. But you have those two and whoever. And at this point, I don't know this, Nestor. This is not me asking around, sniffing around. But if you ask me to predict what their postseason rotation is right now, in any order, just their top four, obviously it's Bradish. Obviously it's Grayson Rodriguez. But I really wonder if what we've seen from John Means and just knowing the veteran presence of Kyle Gibson, even if he doesn't have extensive postseason experience, he does have some. I do wonder if that puts those two over the top and we see Dean Kramer move to the bullpen and maybe Dean Kramer becomes a guy that comes in after your starter is out after five innings. Cause we know, you know, even if you have someone pitching well, they're probably not going to go seven innings in a postseason game. You just don't see that unless you're talking about a bona fide ace. Maybe Dean Kramer comes in the sixth inning and you shorten him up and his stuff plays up. I mean, I think all their options are on the table in terms of how they're going to proceed with their bullpen. And that's not to say that Cano, this doesn't mean I'm saying Cano or any of the guys that have been trustworthy, Coulomb, CNL Perez, Jacob Webb, I want to mention him. He's been, you know, since they acquired him off waivers, he's been more good than bad.
Hall's a guy that they had some confidence in, right?
Hall, you know, I mean, D.L. Hall hasn't missed quite as many bats as I thought he would, but, you know, he's certainly going to be on the postseason. He's going to be in the postseason bullpen. So, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think all options are on the table, including, you know, where does Flaherty fit into this? Where does Wells fit into this?
And by the
this?
Way, where who does... they play and what the matchups are that weekend as well.
Oh, of course.
Where it almost appears it has to be Tampa and Toronto, right? I mean, it appears it's going to – that will be the 4-5. Tampa
like
certainly
it, yep.
be the 4, and doesn't appear that the second-place team in the AL West is going to catch them. Seattle and Houston, I mean, hell, Houston's trying to play their way out of the playoffs at this point. And here comes Seattle, and, I mean, Texas looks like they're going to run away, and you couldn't have convinced me of that 2 weeks ago, right? So there's been a lot of change on that side. But the one thing that feels a week out is – it'll either be Tampa or Toronto from our perspective of where we would go for games 3 and 4 2 weeks from now and who's going to be coming in here. And that would, you know, that may push them to say, all right, Bradish goes 1, Means goes 2, or Bradish goes 1, Gibson goes 2, or and we'll play Means out of the bullpen, you know, on any given night. To your point, these are good sports radio conversations to have all next week after they clinch, though, right? First things first, get through this, because you start playing Friday night and the magic number. We're still talking magic numbers, and people are putting pictures of Billy Smith up because he was number 2, or Al Bunbury because he's number 1. No bueno. No bueno on that, Luke.
No doubt. No doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, it's get to the finish, clinch, have your champagne celebration in the Orioles clubhouse and have that fun. You can cruise then through the last few games. No one really cares about winning 100 games, right? I mean, win the division. Win the division and then do what you need to do to optimize your chances in any way you see fit for the division round,
You
right?
sound like
I
Sigma
mean,
Dell there. Optimize your chance.
Right. But it's the truth. I you know, from a fan perspective, and that's why I think, you know, when the stretch started against the Cardinals and then the beginning of the Rays series a couple weeks back, I think everyone got so fixated on how many games are they going to win? Are they going to win 100? Are they going to win 102? And everyone's talked so much all year. And look, I'm not bashing it. It's a testament to them. But everyone's talked so much about this the streak of not being swept. And it's like, wait a second. Those things are still secondary to what they need to do, which is clinch the division, get the number one seed. You do that, I don't care if it's 99 wins or 100 or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't care if they clinch against the Nationals, I don't care if they get swept over the weekend. I really don't. If it means that you can rest some of your key guys and kind of move things around and try some things out and get some guys off their feet. I mean, I really couldn't care less about the streak of being swept, and I couldn't care less really about 100 wins at this point in time. Are those things nice? Are those things fun to recognize and tweet about and have fun with? Of course, but it's about what you said. Get this thing locked up, win the division, have your celebration, and then you can really figure this out. But it's going to be fascinating. And you may mention, it was interesting, you mentioned whether it's Tampa or Toronto, because the Orioles, and you know, this is kind of putting a positive spin on it, because they're in the position they're in with their bullpen where you have some trust questions and you have some questions as far as who you're even going to go to in high leverage spots and who's going to be in the bullpen and all of that. It really does put Brandon Hyde in a position to really play the matchups much more. And, you know, we saw that on Saturday night. Cano pitched in the eighth inning, and then they brought Perez in because it was two lefties and a switch hitter due up. You know, it was the top of the Cleveland order. So it does, I think, afford you an opportunity to step outside the box of saying, okay, this is my ninth inning, this is my closer, this is my eighth inning guy, this is the guy I like throwing in the seventh. No, it's going to be based off of who's due up in the order, what side of the plate they swing from, you know, all those different factors. So it does, I think, put you in a position where you can try some things. Now, all things being equal, I'd rather have a Zach Britton in his prime and an Andrew Miller in his prime and a Darren O'Day in his prime, you know, but that's not where the Orioles are right now. And, you know, as much as maybe you're holding out hope for that small percentage chance that Felix Bautista might pitch, even if he does, who the heck knows what it's even going to look like? You know, can he even be effective, let alone worry about his arm, you know, his elbow falling off in the process. So, you know, that I think everything is on the table in terms of not so much the rotation, but how this bullpen's going to look, because, you know, Cano fits somewhere into the late inning picture. You know, he's earned that, you know, a couple recent bad outings aside. You know, Perez and Danny Coulomb are lefties who do a great job getting out left-handed hitters. So they're going to fit somewhere into that equation. Beyond that, you know, Jacob Webb, okay. Fujinami, how can you trust him? I mean, you just can't, not when he's going to go out there and, you know, on a night-by-night basis, not know if he can get the ball over the plate. So that doesn't mean he won't be on the roster at all, but I just think there are a lot of options on the table here, you know, whether you're talking about Flaherty, a Tyler Wells, maybe Dean Kramer if he's not in the rotation. I think there are a lot of possibilities here, and that's not ideal. But as you astutely pointed out, go look around at the rest of the AL playoff field right now. The team that no one talks about, and I think that's what's hilarious about this, because they do have good starting pitching and maybe, you know, people are sleeping on them. No one talks about the Twins whatsoever. And look, they're not a 100-win juggernaut or anything like that. We understand that. The AL Central was largely garbage this year, but they're the division winner and they do have some good starting pitching, and they're going to be able to sit back and, you know, kind of see how this last week plays out. They're going to be able to set up their rotation the way they want to. You know, they're not going to have a bye, but you know, they're going to play at home, you know, as the three seed. Yeah, but all these different teams, they've got something going on that they don't like about their team right now. I mean, you mentioned that Astros choking. The Seattle is so Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, the Rangers look like they were dead 2 weeks ago, and they're going to win the division, it's looking like now. I mean, we've talked about the Rays and gosh, they lost Lau over the weekend. Another crushing injury for them. I mean, none of these teams are perfect. So that's why, as much as you might, you in general, not you, Nestor, but just anyone listening right now, looks at the Orioles and say, "Oh, I don't like this," or "I'm worried about this." All the teams in the AL are saying that right now. So just keep that proper perspective. And you know what this comes down to? Who's going to get hot? Who's going to get hot during the wild card round? And maybe that carries that in. We saw this with the Phillies last year. They beat the Cardinals, and before you know it, they're in the NLCS. They were a team that scratched and clawed just to make it as a wild card. So, you don't count out that scenario
And this team
if
can
you're the
hit the
Orioles.
ball. This team can give up 7 runs and win an 11-7 game in game two. There's, I mean,
Yeah.
they this team can hit the ball and
They're going to have
chasing
to do
bad
that at some point.
pitches and striking out a little bit, whatever. But situationally and matchup wise, with the bench they have and the unlikely stars that can be a Mateo or a McKenna or a McCann or O'Hearn, that it could be any of the. It doesn't have to be Henderson and Mullins and Adley every night, but they're going to hit the ball too. And if they don't hit the ball, it'll be like Kansas City all over again. I mean, if they're going to get skunked and they're going to hit. They're going to hit the ball like they did a week and a half ago, where they got tired and they can't score a run. They're going to lose. You're going to get knocked out if you're scoring 1 and 2 runs over 3 or 4 days. You're going to get knocked out.
I mean, it's the nature of the postseason. The best team doesn't always win. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a perfect
Don't
example of
tell
that.
anybody that around here because we feel like we're the best team.
But it's the truth. I mean, it's the simple truth. I mean, look at how the Dodgers have dominated year after year after year over the last, what, 7 years. They have won World Series. It was during the weird pandemic year that they won it. So you don't know. And that's why you take advantage of this. Enjoy this. My goodness, Orioles fans, enjoy this. This has been such a fun season. I don't know if the Orioles are going to win the World Series. If you ask me yes or no, I'm probably going to say no, but I would say that about any team. If you're going to take any team against the field, even the Braves, who've been the best team in baseball all year, they're not exactly finishing the season looking like they're best, being at their peak performance. So you just don't know. It's so much of it's timing, matchups, who wakes up on the right side of the bed, who gets hot at the right time. And on the flip side, who doesn't get hot at the right time? Who has the crushing injury? I mean, I think you and I said it the Monday morning after the Batista injury, we made the comparison to, as you once said, when Ronnie Stanley originally injured his ankle in 2020, you said at that point, I think this is going to prevent them from winning the Super Bowl this year. And the Batista injury, I don't know if that will, but if we're looking back and they're not in the World Series, which there's a good chance that's going to happen because that's just how this works,
Dude, the way
we're going
this
to be
works
talking
is they're
about the
going to have a
Batista soon.
seventh, eighth, and ninth inning with a 1 or a 2 run lead at some point because they're good enough to be there. I mean, if they don't have that,
Yeah.
if their closer doesn't have a chance to blow it, it means that they've had no chance to win it,
Oh, yeah.
right? So, I mean, they're going to need those innings. And to
Sure.
your point, all the stacking and stuff you talked about day one, which is this is going to stack up and this is going to get heavy. It got heavy 2 weeks ago against Tampa. It got heavy last week against Cleveland. They have a chance to lighten their load this week, at least in that way. And I hope
Yeah.
that they can finish the deal, finish it, as we would say. Anything else you want to add, or are we good?
Sure. Nope. No, it's just good. Yeah, you just said it. Finish this thing off. Get some rest. Give your coaching staff and front office a chance to look at the numbers. How do you want to line things? And get your ducks in order. And hey, it's go time. They'll have a chance to watch, but they gotta stay sharp. They'll work out, batting practice, do at Camden Yards next week, but. Boy, these are exciting times, and the idea that they're on the cusp of clinching the AL East, first time since 2014, only the third time in the history of the ballpark, division champions and the number one seed. That's exciting. We'll see what happens after that. You get a chance to roll the dice, as Buck Showalter always said, and that sure beats the alternative.
It almost feels like they didn't lose the football game on Sunday. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery. We had some lucky winners at Coco's last week. I hope everybody enjoys our conversation with Max Weiss, with Mike Resigliano, who came out. We told some old Oriole memories. Max wrote a piece about being bandwagon fans and what we do with them at this point. Let them on. We had empty seats at the stadium a couple weeks ago. Everybody's spending their money on playoff tickets. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills all week, getting ready for the land of Cleve and then Pittsburgh. And then the London Tottenham trip. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville that day. Please get up early. Come on out to Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Have breakfast with us. Watch the football game on the giant screen TVs. Bet the games. Have a good day with us. It's October 15th. It's my 55th birthday the day before. So 5-5, 10-1-5. And, I'm trying to think of where we'll be in the baseball playoffs at that point. It's all running together. All I know is the magic number was 3 as we sat here, and they need to end it this week. I'm Nestor. We're WNSD AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.